Hi everybody, welcome back. Sorry I was not able to be with you guys last week. Had some personal things come up, but I'm glad to be back today. We are in Ephesians studying. My name again, of course, is Al Dumy. I'm the Executive Director at Outreach to Asia Nationals. And we are studying the book of Ephesians. Before we get started here, though, I do want to ask that you continue to pray for our missionaries and our pastor partners that are around the world, especially in Asia. We ask that you guys pray for them, especially in China right now, with the way the things are going. It's there are a lot of stress on our Americans that are in China, and we ask that you pray for them. That one person told me it was like living in a city of say 3.5 million people that hate them, and that's not a good feeling. And so would you just lift them up for us? I'd appreciate that, and continue to ask God to keep our fellows safe as they are working around the world. And also I do want us to look in Ephesians chapter 4, and the title of this is Are You Doing Your Job and With the Right Attitude? That's the real key. A lot of people, well, there's a hymn out there that talks about how duty demands it. If you're doing God's work because of duty's sake, I would say just stop. You're not helping the cause of Christ, and you're not doing it in a way that God's going to be honored. Duty does not ever take the place of the right response. The right response is because He loved me so much that He gave His life for me, I must lay down my life for the brethren. So the real heart issue is, are you living that Christian life before people for the right reason? And I want to share this with you today in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3 says, therefore, the prisoners of the Lord, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to share your word, and we just ask that you would bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen. So his emphasis is endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Well, our job as Christians is to live in unity, not just with my friends, not just with my group, but those that claim Christ. We are to live in unity, and that is how the world sees who we are. Walking worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Some people say, well, vocation is simply the way in which you make your living. That's your vocation. But that's not exactly what this is talking about here. This is talking about the vocation that Paul is talking about here is my spiritual job. It's the idea of being a Christian. Philippians chapter 2 says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That means taking the job that God has given us seriously. That there is a responsibility as being a Christian. Well, this is what God's trying to get across to us. And of course, we understand that our job that He wants us to do is basically found in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. It says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So a call from God comes with a call to prepare. All Christians must be preparing themselves for the job of being a Christian. You say, what do you mean? How do we prepare ourselves? Well, God gave us the institution of the church. Not the building of the church, but the group, the body of the church, to come together and to train one another. Iron sharpeneth iron. That's why God brought us together. That's why we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as some have. But it is a proving ground for us. It is a place that we can learn to grow and take the opportunity to move forward. I look at it, you know, Sunday mornings, our pep rally, it's our chance to get fired up so we can go out and minister. I want you to think this through, that the church is not the ministry. The church is where we go and we get trained so we can go out and do ministry. My job is not to live on the inside of the four walls and do that work there, but my job is to go out of those four walls and go into the world and teach and preach all things whatsoever the Lord has given me. So we must be faithful to the church God put us in. Really, some people use the idea that, well, I can stay at home and have church. And you know, lately we've been at home having church quite often, looking forward to the day that we can assemble together as a body. But God's intention for the church was to have an influence on us and us to have an influence on it. Why do we need a church? Well, we need a church, we need a body of believers to hold us accountable. God wants us to be held accountable in all this. So somebody knows who I am and what I'm doing and what's going on. Then we need a body of believers and a pastor to submit ourselves to that authority. We, to be good leaders, we have to be good followers. And Jesus told them, do you want to be great in my kingdom? Be a servant. Serve one another. And the third reason why we need a body of believers is to exercise our spiritual gifts. God says, I give you these gifts in 1 Corinthians for the edifying of the body. So if you're sitting at home, and you're saying, well, I'm a good Christian. I don't have to go to church to do... Well, who are you accountable to? You say, well, I'm accountable to God. Well, that's great, but God put pastors and under-shepherds for somebody to be accountable to, for us believers to be accountable to. Who are you submitting to? What authority have you submitted to? Well, I submit to the authority of Jesus Christ. Great. Well, his authority was given to the church elders in which to watch over us. And then lastly, where are you exercising your gift? Every place, every Christian has a place, and that place needs that Christian. Because you bring something to the body. It's not about just getting. You know, if church, going to church was just about sitting in a pew, then I would agree with you. You don't need to be here. You don't need to be at church. You can just sit at home. But it's about what do you bring to the body. And every time you stay home or every time you stay away, you are robbing that congregation, that called out body of believers, of the gifted person that you are and the gift that God bestowed upon you. So think about that. You need to be trained. You need to go through it. I think about firefighters. If you're going to be a firefighter and you want to learn how to put out fires, you're going to have to learn different things, right? There's a different way to put out a house fire than an oil fire or electric fire. You learn how to use all the equipment on the truck. You know, you get to get on the ladder truck, which... I would love to get on the ladder truck. But you get to get on the ladder truck, or you get to run the hoses. You get to hook it up to the fire hydrant. You get to run the pumps. All these things you got to learn how to do. But you know, if I just learned how to do all those things, does that make me a firefighter? No. It's like this guy, he wanted to grow, you know, all his life he said, I want to be a fireman. And so... after he graduated high school, he went and was trained as a firefighter, and he was so good at the training. He was so good that the inspectors, the teachers, instructors, asked him to stay on. At the end of his life, he was laying in his deathbed, and he was sharing with one of his friends that were there, and he said, I learned everything there is about fire. I know everything there is. I know how they... backdraft. I know how, you know, fires run. I know how arsons work. I know how, you know, I know all this stuff about fires. He goes, but I have one regret. In all my life, I've never fought a fire. I never fought a fire. And I want you to think, training is not enough. And we do so much of that here in the United States. We train like crazy. We go through the next book. We go through the seven laws, the eight descriptions, the how to have victory over this or that in our life. Our churches are full of teaching. We live in a world that you can get all the training. United States, we can get any training we want. But the problem is, knowing is just here. We have to eventually get it here. And that's the thing about being a Christian, is we don't have to just rely on what we know, but we can actually put it to practice. That's what God has asked us to do. We can, in Romans, we can allow our hands to be instruments of righteousness. We can allow our tongue to speak the truth. We can allow our feet to go into the right places so that we can share the truth. So being trained is not enough. And we got to be careful that we don't become like that firefighter trainer that never fought a fire. I thought about this the other, as I was going through my notes again this morning. There was a time when I was a youth pastor that I had to go to work and help, you know, make enough money to feed the family. And I went to Walmart, hired me. And I went through all the Walmart training. I got to the last thing and I was offered a better job somewhere else. So I didn't take the Walmart job. Do I know how to work at Walmart? Sure. I know what I'm supposed to do. I know how to secure my area. I know what I was supposed to take people to where they find everything. And of course, this was back when they actually did all that stuff. And customer service was wonderful. But this, I was trained, but I never really worked for Walmart. I was never got on the floor. Well, that's the same thing. And if we train all the time in the church, but we never get out and to where God has called our vocation to shine, our Christianity to shine, then we're really not Christians. You say, oh, but I am saved. I understand. But in reality, are you practicing what you've been training? You've been in the church. Now have you been practicing how to live that life before people? And that's what God's asking us to do. He wants us to move forward. So let's look at the vocation wherewith we are called. Again, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. It says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. So our first part of our vocation is to go. Not stay, not build up the walls, not hold the fort, but to go. We can't stay in the church and fulfill the job that God has called us to do. We have to go out. Mark 16, 15 says, and he said unto them, go ye unto all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Acts 1, 8 says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. All these are supposed to happen at the same time, not, I got to reach my Jerusalem, then I'll move to my Judea, then I'll get to my Samaria, and then we'll get to the uttermost parts of the world. No, we're supposed to be hitting this all at the same time. So the church, the called out assembly, has to have people that are willing to reach the local area, willing to reach out just outside the local area. In other words, for instance, I live in Winchester, Virginia. So to reach Winchester, God needs people here. From Winchester, it's Virginia. So I got to reach Virginia. From Virginia, God's asking us also to reach the United States. From the United States, God's also asking us to reach around the world. That's the four steps. And he wants this to happen at the same time. So we need representatives from our assembly, for local. That's everybody that attends for around Virginia. That would be trying to help other counties, other cities, other places reach other people. Maybe that's getting into missions, a rescue missions, things like that. Then we need to get into church planting throughout the United States. We got people that need to be, there's areas out west, areas up north that need the gospel extremely bad. And then there's the uttermost parts of the world. Now, right now, God has called us, Outreach to Asian Nationals, to work in the part of the uttermost parts of the world. But that doesn't exclude all of us from working where God has planted us and where we're at right now. So we have to be thinking that. What are we going to do? Well, we're going to teach all nations. What are we going to teach them? This teach is the first teach. There's two teaches in this passage. The first teach is salvation. So what are we going to teach them? We're going to have to tell them how they can come to know Jesus. We got to give them Romans 5. 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 10:13. For all have sinned, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then, so God is saying, come, let's work these things out together. Let's get this thing done. Let's teach them first how to come to Christ. And then we'll baptize them. And then we're going to teach them all things whatsoever I've commanded you. This is the discipleship part. Each one of us should be in the process of discipleship. There should be somebody you're reaching out to, or somebody that you're that has reached out to you. Now, this all things that he's talking about is the five major discourses out of Matthew: the Sermon on the Mount, the Missions Discourse, the Kingdom Parable, the Disciple Discourse, and of course the Olivet Discourse. But we need to be willing to teach all things whatsoever I command you. And then, what is the conduct of our vocation? How are we supposed to act? How are we supposed to live? Well, verse 2 tells us, and 3 says, with lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the blood, in the bond of peace. Well, we're supposed to have lowliness of mind. Well, what does that mean? Humility. In 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter writes, humble yourself, therefore, in the mighty hand of God. There's a choice to be humble. And it's something that you have to apply to yourself. Meekness is gentleness. We need to be gentle with one another. Long-suffering, fortitude, staying with the stuff, forbearing one another. To hold oneself up against, or figuratively to put up with. So if we're forbearing one another, we're putting up with you. We're going to keep on keeping on. We're going to reach out. Even if you tell us no, we're going to keep reaching. We're going to keep reaching. Why? Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. That's why. We're not going to allow you to push us away. We're going to keep coming, because that's what love. Love doesn't give up. Love keeps moving forward. Love says, hold on just a little longer. Love says, I don't have to be right. I can be gentle. Love says that I can put others first. It's not about what I want. It's about what others want. And yes, there are times when you do that, you're going to get walked all over. But wouldn't you rather be right with God than right with yourself? What do I mean by that? When we humble ourselves and put ourselves under the mighty hand of God, we're saying that I don't have to have it my way. That you mean enough to me that I will do what I can. No, are we going to compromise doctrine? No. Are we going to compromise holiness? No. But are we going to love and push past love? Yes. Because we want unity. Think about it this way. Me and Joy, when we first got married, we made a pact. We would never use the word divorce in our vocabulary towards one another. Well, if you can't get divorced, then you got one of two ways to live your life. Humble yourself, apologize, and fix those things that keep coming up in your marriage, or live miserably for the rest of your life. So we chose the latter. We humble ourselves. We fix it. We've been together 32 years, praise the Lord. And have we seen hard times? Yeah. Have I caused hard times? Yeah. But at the end of the day, do we love each other? Yeah. So we must be good employees. And our job is being a Christian. If I was you, I would read Colossians chapter 4. No, sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. And ask the question, am I exercising these things in my life? We must be good employees, but we must do the job with the right spirit. The spirit of, we need to get along. How do all people know that I'm Christ's disciple? By the love that I have one towards another. It's not about being right. It's about Him shining through us. Well, God bless you. Till we meet again, we'll get into the next passage next week. But just think, is your vocation, your Christianity shining? Father, thank you for the opportunity to share. In Jesus' name, amen.